Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
Scientists at the International Union for the Conservation of Nature recently published a gloomy assessment of the world's tuna. 5 of the 8 tuna species are now in the threatened or near-threatened categories on the IUCN's red list. All bluefin tuna, the report warns, are susceptible to collapse under continued excessive fishing. The U.S. government last month named the Atlantic bluefin a species of concern. It's been overfished on both sides of the ocean for decades, and last year's Gulf oil spill struck spawning grounds just as eggs and larvae were in the water. But on a recent fishing trip, I learned that some scientists tracking the Atlantic bluefin are starting to see a few hopeful signs that this amazing animal can make a comeback. We push off from Chatham, Massachusetts, on Cape Cod at 4 a.m., normal hours for Captain Eric Stewart. Stewart's 47. He's been fishing here since he was a teenager. How big are tuna to him? For his 20th wedding anniversary, Stewart got a new wedding band engraved with bluefin tuna. Not what Mrs. Stewart had in mind.
Well, she said, I'm not going to have a bluefin ring. And so that was the end of the discussion. Well, then all of a sudden she said, hey, I think that's a great idea. And I said, oh, great. What are you going to get? Oh, don't worry. So, needless to say, my new tuna ring cost me a little bit more than I thought it was going to. But I got my wish.
Stewart's surrounded by reminders of what's on the line with his charter fishing business. This boat, the Tammy Rose, is named for his wife. His first mate is his son, Corey. If he can't fish, they're all sunk. Mere talk of the bluefin as an endangered species hurt business.
It was frustrating for me, and it impacted tackle sales, it impacted charters, and, you know, it's given bluefin, like, this bad mark when there's nothing farther from the truth.
Away from the microphone, Stewart tells me some of his fishing colleagues were not happy with him making this trip. Bad news about bluefin comes from 3 types of people: scientists, environmentalists, and reporters. And Stewart has all 3 on this outing organized by the Pew Environment Group. But he thinks it's important for fishermen to tell their story.
We're out here every day. And the number of fish that I see in the last 5-6 years clearly shows that the population is growing, not declining.
About 6 miles off the Cape, humpback whales breach, sending spray into the dawn light. Wow. Stewart follows the whales. Where they feed, so do bluefin.
See all the birds and everything up here now? Oh, yeah. So this is really looking good.
Corey sets the 7 trolling lures at staggered lengths behind the boat. And we wait. Then a powerful swirl at one of the middle rigs.
Big fish, here we go. Gotta clear the other lines, guys. Big fish.
The reel dumps line. The deck is in chaos as the fish crosses lines.
Get the other squid rig in the boat. Get the squid rig in the boat. Right there in a short corner. Someone get that squid rig in the boat. This is a big fish, guys. This is not a little fish.
Reporter Lisa Densmore straps into a harness and takes the rod and reel.
What do you think, Lisa? Is this worth waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning for or what? Come on.
You got a guess on this fish here?
You know what? He made a really, really strong run, but you'll be surprised. He's possuming us. There he goes.
Possuming? What's that?
He's just going to try to... He just reversed directions.
Yeah.
Playing a possum. This fish could be 58 inches. He made a huge run, but you just can't tell. You really can't tell till he comes up.
Stewart maneuvers the boat as his son coaches Densmore back and forth on the deck, a move called the tuna tango. After some 25 minutes, the big bluefin shows a flash of color near the surface. Stewart's early guess at its size was way off. This thing's as big as me.
There he is.
Oh, wow, there he is. Wow.
Up close, a bluefin is a marvel, a bullet of pure hydrodynamic muscle. They're among the few fish that regulate their body temperature. Warm muscles move them faster and farther than just about anything in the water. One tuna tagged on this side of the ocean was caught just 53 days later on the other side in Norway. Andre Bustani watches this one fight. He's a Duke University marine biologist who's tagged about 500 fish in his study of bluefin.
In the past decade or so, we've learned more about bluefin tuna than we did in, you know, maybe 100 years before that. It's just been an amazing flurry of scientific discovery in the last decade or so.
A tagged fish can reveal a wealth of data. A harvested fish can fetch a small fortune. In January, a giant bluefin caught near Japan set a new record at auction, $396,000 for a single fish. If this fish is over 73 inches, it's a keeper. Bustani's not sure which way things will go.
I don't know, actually, what they're going to do. That's a good question. If it's a legal commercial size, then they'll stick it with a harpoon. And if it's too small, they'll tag it with a conventional tag and let it go.
Will this bluefin swim away with a tag or be sushi on someone's table? We'll get back to that. But let's talk about just what we're learning about bluefin tuna and why there's cautious optimism about its future.
There are signs we believe that bluefin, if properly managed and if taken good care of, can rebound much more quickly.
That's Molly Lutkavage. She directs the Large Pelagics Research Center at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. She says fishing quotas are finally cutting chronic overfishing in the Mediterranean Sea. She's seeing more juvenile bluefin, and there's the intriguing data from the high-tech tag she uses, called a pop-up satellite tag. It's a mini computer that tracks the fish's location, depth, and water temperature for a year.
So the tag pops up to the surface and then starts transmitting the log data to receivers on board orbiting satellites. That recorded information is then relayed to the tagger, in this case me, via email.
That is so cool. This changes the whole set of questions you can ask of your data.
Absolutely. I mean, when we were among the first people to use this pop-up technology. And of course, the first year that we used it, the tags came off the fish. And the fish weren't where they were supposed to be, which was in the Gulf of Mexico during the presumed spawning period. So it was the first sort of volley back by the fish. Hey, we're not doing what you scientists think we're doing.
Lutkavage and her team have a couple of theories. The first is that bluefin along the eastern U.S. coast are likely shifting farther north and east, in some cases out of U.S. waters. Second, and more controversial, is that bluefin have other spawning grounds beyond the Gulf of Mexico. Some spot the fish have kept secret.
From our tagging, we've seen only about a third to half of the fish that we tag each year enter the Gulf of Mexico. What that suggests to us is either bluefin don't spawn every year, or they're spawning in these other locations. We think it's highly unlikely that such a large number of adult bluefin tuna that appear to leave their feeding areas in really good condition would take a year off. It could happen. But if it does, it means that bluefin tuna are violating life history.
That idea is hotly debated, but all the scientists I spoke to agree that while they're still concerned about Atlantic bluefin, the fish could be turning the corner. It all depends on strict enforcement of fishing quotas and stopping illegal fishing, especially in the Mediterranean. And that's where another kind of tuna tagging might help. Lee Crockett of the Pew Environment Project says electronic catch documentation could track harvested fish, much like grocers use barcodes to keep inventory.
You would tag the fish with a wire tag that has a barcode that can be scanned into a computer system. And then as that fish travels through the system, it's accounted for in this database. So it's something that, you know, we think would be important to prevent illegal fishing and unreported fish. But it's not there yet.
A few companies are using this system. Pew is pushing the international body that regulates tuna fishing to adopt it. Meanwhile, back on the Tammy Rose, it's the moment of truth for Captain Stewart and his big bluefin.
It's a pretty big fish. I'd like to get a good look at him, though.
It's 70 inches. Big, but not big enough to harvest. Stuart puts in the tag, and then it's back in the water with a little help. Stuart gently places the hook of a long-handled gaff under the tuna's pectoral fin. Corey Stewart explains.
He's reviving him. He gets very tired it's like if you work out, you build up a lot of lactic acid. These fish do the same thing. So on big fish like this, you swim them for a little while, get oxygen back into his gills, back into his system, get the lactic acid out of him, and and then he starts kicking, he starts really swimming again, and then you can release him, and you know he's going to be okay. Okay.
There he goes.
Stuart's not too upset that this one got away.
It's 3 inches short. It's a really nice, fat, healthy fish, too, which is good. And today's all about trying to tag and release them, so actually, in a lot of regards, I'm really happy. You know, what I've also learned by studying and working with scientists is how little we really know. I mean, how little do we really know about a fish that can swim the ocean? We've really only just begun to scratch the surface on bluefin tuna. And they are, you know, they are an amazing, magnificent creature, and certainly, you know, almost like the king of the sea.
For the sake of the fish and the fishermen, long live the king. Just ahead, how the new virtual landscape of the internet could decide the fate of real-world environments. That's coming up on Living on Earth.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change, and the Sierra Club, welcoming students back to college with Sierra Magazine's annual ranking of America's coolest schools. Online at sierraclub.org/livingonearth. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.